This is the Colonial Department's Extra Credit, a bonus show that provides some nugget-sized tidbits of Philippine colonial history. It's based on the most recent episode, so if you haven't yet, check out Season 5, Episode 4, Assembling a Colonial Breakfast. Then hop on back here for some extra credit. Our last episode was all about breakfast. We tracked the history of tapa, rice, eggs, daing, and hot chocolate across the late 1800s, shining a spotlight on their sources and supply. I wouldn't have been able to write the episode without Daniel Dopper's 2016 book, Feeding Manila in Peace and War, 1850-1945. This thick book is absolutely essential reading for those who want to learn more about food and the food economy in Philippine history. For the episode, I purposely limited myself to breakfast food, but there's also a little section in Dopper's book about that one Pinoy dish that always fascinates and oftentimes horrifies foreigners. Yep, I'm talking about balut. I've been eating steamed duck fetus from the eggshell my entire life, but I totally understand why Westerners would be weirded out by it. But I assure you, it's pretty good. Here are three historical tidbits about balut that you've got to know. One, variants of balut exist all across China and Southeast Asia. People like it because it's a protein-rich, flavorful snack that could last a long time, which was super important in those days when refrigeration hadn't been invented yet. It's said the techniques of balut making were brought into the Philippines by Chinese traders as early as the 16th century. Two, because ducks were abundant in its fields and wetlands, Pateros became the early epicenter of the balut making industry. In 1842, an American visitor reported that there were millions and millions of ducks in Pateros. About a decade later, records show that two large bangkas loaded with eggs would sail down the Pasig River and into Manila to deliver the city's weekly balut fix. 3. Even in the 1800s, foreigners were fixated on balut. Pateros actually became a tourist destination in the middle of the 19th century, with visitors trooping in to see how this unique dish was made. But by the 1880s, Pasig and Taguig were also making their own balut. During the American period, Laguna, Rizal, Bulacan, and Pampanga also joined the duck egg making party. In the 20th century, the balut industry of Pateros went into a slow decline as pollution and urbanization crept onto the banks of the Pasig River. Still, Pateros takes great pride in its balut-making traditions, which have been preserved across generations. Now I leave you with a quote from the late, great Doreen Fernandez. One of the Philippines' best food writers, here are her indelible thoughts on balut, published in a magazine article in 1996.
If the making of balut is a culture, so is its eating. The Pinoy way is to crack one end of the shell, drop in a few grains of salt, and sip the sabaw. Then, to peel off the shell gradually, and to savor the textures of yolk and of sisiu in that stage of its becoming, when it partakes of the natures of egg and fowl. Folk belief calls balut an aphrodisiac, or at the very least, a most healthy food that aids virility. To the foreigner, it is another bit of exotica, product of uninhibited Asian imagination which knows few food taboos. To me, the 17-day-old balut is another of our definitions of perfection.
And that's it. Hope you learned something new today. Check back next week for a new episode of the Colonial Department.